You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Welcome to St. John's. Our worship tonight is for Pentecost chapter 3, or third Sunday, and it's about God's wonderful gifts, that what he gives is always good gifts, and they are wonderful gifts. And one of those gifts is the victory that comes in Christ. It's never in doubt, and we recognize that it is always joyful. Victory in place of defeat. Let us continue with our worship with our first hymn. Our first hymn is Glory Be to God the Father, hymn 608, Glory Be to God the Father.
We welcome you to an hour of worship from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Pastor Tim Kuske will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 35. With Christ, power over Satan. Join us now in singing hymn number 608. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins. with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer worship, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, your Son Jesus triumphed over the prince of demons and freed us from bondage to sin. Help us to stand firm against every assault of Satan. Enable us always to do your will. Through your Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading, the first reading, is from Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 8. After Adam and Eve both sinned, God offered them a chance to repent, but their image of God had so disappeared they were unwilling to do so. We see how God again and again asked them to return to Him. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life." And here is the first promise of the Savior: "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn to Psalm 130b, that's in your Psalter on page 703, and we sing, "Remember Your Mercy, O Lord," Psalm 130.
Thank you.
God's promise of a Savior was enough to assure everyone that God would act against sin. But now we see at the other end of the spectrum, Revelation 20, where in the end God has locked up Satan, and the only thing he can do now is tempt. The only what God allows him to do. There's no reason for us to fall to his lies. We have the victor, Christ Jesus. We read from Revelation 20. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the gospel acclamation. Gospel lesson is found in Mark chapter 3, starting at verse 20. Here, Jesus shows his power not only over demons, which everybody knew, but also over those who carry Satan's words. We read from Mark 3. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, and they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. He's driving out demons." So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying he has an impure spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." The gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated for our next hymn, "Rise to Arms with Prayer Employ You." It's how we fight Satan and win with Christ.
hymn number 871.
I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Dear people who know your Lord. The context of this particular account is that Jesus is returning to his home base, Capernaum, and his disciples have just returned from their vicar stint of, about 3 months. We're not exactly sure. But while they were on that time, they were preaching the gospel that Jesus preached. And they were healing people and doing miracles among the people. And it was making a big splash in all of Israel. So much so that those in Jerusalem started to see it. And what does he find when he gets here? Well, let's take a look at Mark 3. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons he is driving out demons." So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man, and then he can rob his house. I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying he has an evil spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of the Lord. He comes home to his home base, and even his family comes to fetch him because they think he's out of his mind. He even alludes to that when he says, a family cannot stand, a house cannot stand, if it is, divided. Kind of interesting. And then all the big, high, mucky mucks from Jerusalem, the teachers of the law, came up. And they had enough of their reports. They already had their judgment sure and certain. And they were traveling among the crowds that were there and saying things about Jesus. A couple of them were mentioned here. He has an evil spirit. Or he is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. He's driving out demons. Their slander is out there. But look who else is there. Huge crowds. Jesus says, at the height of his popularity, they have seen him do miracles that have been good for people. They have seen demons come shrieking out of people in their own town, and they saw the damage that those demons did. You see, Jesus fights with miracles. There's no doubt about that. And we cannot necessarily do that. But every time he did a miracle, it was an opportunity for him to preach. He was claiming many souls. Jesus claims to be doing those miracles. And he isn't abashed of it at all. By the power of his word, he knows what he can do. And I think that's an important lesson for us. Because we live in a world where people don't like Christianity anymore. They simply don't. And all the good things that the Bible says is good are being said to you. They are wrong. They are bad. If you are impolite to somebody, at least from their perception, while you warn them against their path in life, you're the evil one, even though out of love. You're trying to keep them away from things that will hurt them. Well, Jesus was going to keep on speaking what he was going to speak. And he was going to be proud of what God had taught, and he was going to teach it. It doesn't matter where these teachers of the law came from, whether they came from Jerusalem or anywhere else. Jesus was speaking from God's word. And here is the greatest weapon of all. And look what he does. It talks about Jesus inviting those teachers of the law to come and listen to him. And yes, he's a little bit impolite because he takes on the issue that they brought up. And with great logic and power, he completely destroyed their argument. Didn't he? But he did it so that he might love them. He did it so they wouldn't take somebody else's word and slander and would actually listen to the source. He uses his word and uses the logic with it to completely destroy their attack. How can Satan drive out Satan? A kingdom divided itself against itself will fall, and that's exactly what happens in history. If you see that anywhere, it happens. A kingdom that has a civil war going on is going to have some real problems in the future. It just does. And that's the same history back at that time. But notice what Jesus fights for. He fights for his enemies, that they would become his brothers, that they would become believers. Jesus spoke parables, earthly stories, to illustrate a spiritual point. And what an amazing parable there, the one about the strong man. Can't go in unless you got the power to knock out the strong man. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did again and again and again. Remember the story of Legion? He was stronger than many demons. He did it for the good of that person. He did it with his word, a weapon that he gives to us, the one that we need to learn better, so that we can put a stone in somebody else's shoe, so that we can use simple logic to destroy their illogical and irrational attacks on Christianity. It's important for us to be united in this, and this is the kind of time where it's difficult. Wouldn't it be nice if we'd never had to say a word to somebody else about our faith? But if there's a time ever for the average Joe to do so, it's now. To stand up for what you believe and to just ask questions about why they believe what they believe. You know, how many times do you got to, they always accuse Christianity of starting all the wars. Well, there were a few that were started by Christianity. There's no doubt about that. But usually it was people who wanted power and used Christianity to get people to fight on their side. Promised them things that aren't from the scriptures to do so. People don't listen, though. They don't understand the logic that's out there, and they don't listen to God's word. How important for us to think, listen even the more strongly, and see the logic, simple logic of God's word, because you can use it too to fight off God's enemy. But now when God fights off those enemies, he also wants to make them part of his family. How many of you got a phone that has a whole bunch of pictures with pictures of your family in it? Right? I see a bunch of smiles, right? And it used to be that ladies would have a little brag book in their purse that they could show all the pictures they have of all their kids. And guys would have one in their wallet. God's proud of his family. And yet his family wasn't so proud of him. Here he is. He's at the top of his popularity. And what would make that popularity worse? How about your family thinking you're nuts? How about your family trying to come pick you up and take you back home? How in the world could Mary get there? Some people have asked. She saw an angel. An angel spoke to her about this man, her child. On the other hand, she probably also knew that there were people out for Jesus' life by this time. And any good mother would not want that to happen to her child. And her brothers and sisters, I can imagine they were a little miffed because Mr. Perfect, well, okay, he was, and made their lives miserable, right? Because they were always getting caught. And Jesus never got in trouble. And they just couldn't get over into that adult mode where, you know what, if I just do what my parents ask me to do, first of all, they're not going to get on my case and have a heart attack, and I'm going to be happier too because they're not going to get on my case. How long does it take kids to learn that? Till they're 23 or so? You know, how important for us to see Jesus' patience and his love. We know that later on, James seems to be one of Jesus' brothers, became the leader of the Christians in Jerusalem. He must have learned an awful lot from Jesus, even though he probably was here to take Jesus home. You see, Jesus knows who belongs to his family, and his house is never divided because it is only those who believe. And even though there are those who masquerade as believers and are hypocrites within the church, yet Jesus knows exactly who are his, and he continues to fight the devil for each and every person. You see, this fight is about your soul. Your soul is the battleground. That's where his kingdom lives, in your hearts and in your souls. And he wants you to be with him in heaven. And what we need to know is that Christ has always been derided out in our world. I don't care what era you've been in. Christianity seems to be falling apart, and everybody hates it. At least the popular people think that Christianity ain't all that great. It binds me too much, or it keeps me from doing what I want, or it keeps me from being a king the way I want to be. Or it causes all kinds of riling up among the people. Oh, Christianity gets blamed for an awful lot. But what about our own mistakes there? How many times do we bring God's name into something that just isn't all that important with an OMG? My goodness, it's on commercials these days. You know? There's a survey out there that says if you find anything out there that's against Christianity, there's a certain number of that. And when you see in society that there's something that supports Christianity, the ratio is somewhere around 3,000 to 1. That in things that are supported out in our world, in the news, in our schools, in all kinds of places, they go directly against the scriptures about 3,000 times, while in the media only one Christian gets a chance to be out there and state his faith and talk about Christ. And yet God still wins. Isn't that amazing? Far too often, we're the ones who also fight against Christ as his family. How important for us to learn to do exactly what is necessary and do what Adam and Eve did not, come in repentance to our Lord. Too often, we help people lead people away from Christ instead of representing him in our world. Oh, you can keep those four-letter words and vulgarities out of your mouth when you see pastor, but when he's gone, they come a-flying. If that describes you, you know you have the ability to control that because you can do it in front of your pastor. So why not do it always? Christ has defeated Satan. Satan brought him to death, and Christ still won. He rose from the dead. Christ, or Satan, took the whole world away from God when he caused Adam and Eve to sin. And yet God still won by giving them faith, by blessing them with what to believe in, a God who came to earth and paid for our sins. Satan will never quit. And he will use anything against Christ. Think about that, how he tempted even Mary to try to stop God's word from spreading from Christ's mouth. Out of her love and concern, how love is twisted in our world. Let us remember that Christ has always 1. And so Jesus very strongly warns these teachers of the law about blasphemy. He completely destroyed their arguments and said, all you're doing is saying things that are simply not true. You're saying that I'm filled with an evil spirit. Well, you're going to have to prove that one. And all it did was make them madder. How sad. How do you capture the soul of one who is so set against you? You simply keep speaking the word in love. Let's see when God does that for us. Let's recognize that at times he sends things in our lives to shake up our life a little bit, to cause us to think about our beliefs and what we are, how we live our lives, and then learn to do what we pray for, to do God's will, to live our lives holy, and to teach God's word purely. Because this is the simple way to win with Jesus. See the battlefield from Jesus' eyes. When he wins, he brings a new family member into his fold. Someone new to love. That's what he's doing. And he has won. He has brought so many into heaven that heaven is filling up. The way home is through the battle that we fight now. But we have a champion. We have the one that has already won. We're just in the cleanup of it. Christ has fought for all mankind, and he has made many of them his family by his great effort and by his creation. And now he wants you to keep there too, to stay there with him. See how he has made you his family. See how he fights for you. And remember, always remember, that the victory is always yours in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give you his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of grace and of prayer, of power and strength, of sanctification, and the fear of God. Amen. We continue with our confession of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for our prayer of the church. Our offerings are at the door in the alms box. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you gave us victory from the very first sin. You sent your Son to be our Savior. Help us, dear Lord, to see our fellow Christians as our brothers and sisters, as those who have faith in Christ Jesus. We rejoice that you have given to us a unity in the wells that is wonderful and joyful, and that it serves us. But we also pray for those who are not of our fellowship, and even though we cannot join in fellowship with them, we rejoice that your work is being done through them. Lord God, bless and encourage us every day, that we may have faith in you, that our faith may grow strong by the power of Jesus' word. Defend us from the challenges of Satan that come in so many guises, that come from all the kinds of things that are out there, and that we hardly even notice, that we don't even think about and blink an eye at. Lord God, sharpen our senses and help us to see how so many are led away from Christ. And dear Lord, give us the bravery, give us the courage to stand up for our faith, to ask questions why they think that this is so bad, because it comes from the Lord, to ask questions as to why they doubt the salvation that was given to us by our loving and gracious God. Lord God, help us to rejoice in that forgiveness for each of us. For we too had the attitudes of teenagers and sometimes even show them today. Lord God, bless and encourage us that we may grow and mature in your word so that we may use it along with you to fight off the attacks and temptations of Satan. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our next hymn, At the Name of Jesus. At the Name of Jesus, hymn 547. Please rise. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart that, being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And in your name we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated for our last hymn, Alleluia, Jesus Lives, hymn 455. Alleluia, Jesus Lives. There's several opportunities to serve at our church in various ways, including a sign up for our fair booth. Please take some time to help out our church and just be out there and proud of what you believe in. Let's see. Movie night tomorrow night at 6. They're showing a movie at 6. It'll be interesting. See how that works. I hear that the weather's going to be a lot like this, a little cloudy, so it might be dark enough. That'd be good. I think that's about all. Good evening to all of you, and God bless.
This worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 o'clock each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo, or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and TV 43. You may also listen to the sermon podcast on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page at 9 o'clock a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in 3-year-old preschool through the 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, will be appreciated. The television program today was produced by Don Harmon. This is Brent Bailey. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street.